Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
Good morning, and welcome to Mountain View Fellowship. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors here, and kind of welcome back. We're kind of getting back in kind of our normal flow on a Sunday morning, but how many of y'all enjoyed the last series we had, the MVF movies? That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. It's good to sometimes do things just a little bit different. Last week, Pastor Don kind of used the movie Jesus Revolution, and he kind of walked through that. I'm just curious, how many of you went ahead after Sunday, went ahead and watched that movie? Quite a few, yeah. I hadn't seen it before, my family and I hadn't, so last Sunday evening, we went ahead and watched it. And I got to tell you, it really took me back to kind of the beginning of my own walk with Christ. You see, I kind of have a connection to the movie. Not so much the time frame it was a little bit later for me, but the people in that movie, Pastor Chuck Smith, Pastor Greg Laurie, and then Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. You see, back in 1990, it was in between my junior and senior year in college, and I took an engineering internship in San Bernardino, California, and I moved out there. I was completely alone, didn't know anybody. But at that point in my life, I kind of thought I was a believer. I thought, you know, I believe in God. I can be moral enough. I can be good enough on my own. I don't really need the Savior thing. I believed in God, but, you know, Jesus, that was a little confusing to me. Didn't really make sense. Yet, if I was honest, at that point in my life, I was in these cycles of sin. I would just repeat the same thing over again. Selfishness, lust, anger, lying, pride, whatever it was. That particular summer, God put a bunch of people in my life that I didn't know. They were new friends. They were college-age folks. Several of them were believers, and they actually had a connection to Calvary Chapel. And so they encouraged me early in the summer to join them, and drive 65 minutes to Costa Mesa to a Wednesday night college Bible study. I had nothing to do, so I said, yeah, sure, you know, can't hurt, right? Went ahead and jumped in. These folks became my friends. We started hanging out more and more. On the weekends, we did lots of things together. They tried to teach me to surf. It's really hard to have a 6'4" guy who doesn't swim well to surf. But anyways, I found myself in this growing circle of people who were becoming my friends, and they were believers. And over the course of the summer, the Holy Spirit worked on my heart and showed me the actual truth of who Jesus is. Again, I was kind of under that impression that I was good enough on my own to get to go to heaven. So that summer, being in the Word, opening up the Bible and reading with people, and then them challenging me on some of my inner beliefs, some of the things I thought, by using the words of the Scripture, boy, that was revolutionary for me. The hardest piece of Scripture that I hit that summer was Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. Which says, God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I realized that I was missing the gospel, that I was missing an actual relationship with Jesus built on what He did on the cross, that it wasn't about me, and I could never be good enough on my own. Now, that summer, it all kind of just culminated at the end of the summer before we all went to school. Pastor Greg Laurie was starting the first ever that he did of a week-long crusade called Harvest Crusade, and he was holding it at the Pacific Amphitheater. And my new friends and I, we knew it was going to be kind of epic and pretty cool, and so we wanted to do it. So each night, as soon as we got done with work, we jumped in our cars, we raced down the 91 freeway through Riverside and stuff to get down by the coast, and It was pretty amazing. Thursday night, unfortunately, I had to work. I had to work late, and I couldn't join my friends. So this time, instead of rushing down the freeway, I just rushed to my apartment as soon as I could. and I turned on my radio to listen to the broadcast. And yes, I'm that old, our actual radio, right? I know some of those are looking at me over there, right, Al? All right. The reception wasn't that great. So I kind of sat there glued to my radio, listening to the static, and yet that night I prayed to accept Christ. And that was August 16, 1990, 35 years ago. It's kind of crazy to me it was that long. You know, as I watched the movie, not only did I remember these things that I encountered then, but there were just a couple of small things that just kind of stood out. One of them was Pastor Chuck Smith would always do this. At the beginning of his preaching, he'd always hold up his Bible and he said, "This is God's word, this is life." And that's in the movie as well. And it's just an acknowledgement that the Bible is not something just to stand on your shelf. It's not fiction. It's incredible. The Bible is God's love letter for us. And coupled with the Holy Spirit, it has the incredible power to transform our lives. That saying he used to said was actually based on John 6:63, which says, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life." Now, just another thing that kind of came up in the movie is back then when somebody would say something, you know, nowadays sometimes people say amen or whatever, but if somebody said something we just knew was true and it just hit us, we would just point up. It was just to give God credit, right? Something pretty cool, we just point up, give him the credit for it. And I realized that I haven't thought about it for a long time, but I still do that sometimes. Sometimes when you all are talking to me or I'm saying something, I'll point up, right? It's just kind of funny how that's there. And then the other thing that kind of came back to my mind was my incredibly rocky introduction to prayer that summer. You see, people were actually doing what we read about in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Or joyful people praying out loud. That was weird, right? I had never experienced that before. And I remember that summer just listening to some people who, man, you listen to them and they could pray so amazingly well, right? It just seems so effortless to them. There was one time that summer I was asked in a small group to pray. Oh my, I wasn't ready for that. I just fumbled my way through it. I wasn't a believer yet, so I said some good sounding junk, right? Just phrases, whatever. I think the people in the group knew it. But they still gave me grace. Have you ever felt that way? You know, admired somebody who seemed to be able to pray really well. And you're like, oh, I wish I could pray like that. Or are you one of those who, you know, you're in a group and it's obvious that they're going to be praying soon and you just start to look down or try not to make eye contact, you know, so that you won't be picked to pray, right? I understand that feeling. I do. Growing up, I wasn't taught much about prayer, why we pray, how to pray, any of that. So I fumbled with it for a long time. For all of you, I want it to be different. I want you to have that feeling. Today we're going to start a 4-week series, and this is hopefully going to be a series that's just incredibly helpful and practical for you. We're going to be talking through some things that are practices, if you will, things that as a disciple of Christ we do. I think we often make faith incredibly complicated when it shouldn't be. The world is really complicated, but Jesus isn't. Now, your lifelong relationship with Jesus, there's going to be some complexity and nuance and growth and lots of things to learn. But getting started, how it actually works, is not very complicated. So we're going to start with the basics. And the basics we're going to be talking about today is prayer. Now, my hope this morning is for it not to be like a lecture on the theology and so much. We'll touch a little bit, but it's hopefully much more of just a how-to. And I'm going to give you opportunity to pray during this whole thing this morning. You've already done a little bit of that this morning. Steph started this off with directed prayer. You prayed through Scripture, which was great. And now we're going to have 8 more opportunities to pray. Don't worry, you don't have to do it out loud if you don't want to. Okay, you don't need to worry about avoiding my eye contact, all right? But before we do that, I think it's good for us to spend a few moments talking about why we should pray, okay? Now, one of the first things is God wants to hear from us. That's why we should pray. And if we open up Psalm 116, verses 1 to 2, it says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. I love that image. He bends down to listen. Think about like a father with a preschooler kind of getting down on their level to hear what they want to say. And that's what God does for us. God, the creator of the universe, wants a relationship with you. He wants a loving relationship. He wants you to spend time with him. And prayer is really just talking to him. That's what the whole thing is about. Another reason why we need to pray is God wants to share us to share our hearts. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God simply wants us to talk to him, to tell him everything that's going on inside of us, to ask for his help in our issues, to thank him for our blessings, to trust him with our pain and our suffering and all the other emotions too. When you read through the Psalms, you are going to see every emotion I think any person can have. Joy and anger, sadness, depression, thankfulness, laughter, mourning, even rebellion. And when we authentically pray, when we're transparent when we pray, we can share wherever we're at with God without fear of punishment. To share our whole hearts with him in order to depend on him, to trust in him, and to actually rest in him. And I think the third reason we're supposed to pray is God wants us to draw near to him. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. I think that's the point of prayer. To draw close to God. Our goal for our prayers is not religion, it's relationship. We want to have an authentic relationship with him, not fulfilling some mandatory, you know, checklist. Oh, I got to pray today, check it off, right? Instead, it's about spending time with him, drawing close to him. A lot of times I kind of use this analogy. Let's say you're fishing, right? You're in a canoe, you're fishing in a lake, and you cast your line, it catches something on shore, and you start to reel. Right? If the line doesn't break and you reel long enough, you're going to be next to the shore, right? Well, did you move the shore to you, or did you move to the shore? Right? Prayer is us moving to God. It's not pulling him to us, it's us going to him. And the closer we are to him, the more we are going to change. The more we're going to become more like Jesus, right? These are great reasons why we should, but let's face it, we do have some obstacles to prayer, right? And I'm going beyond just all of our excuses of, oh, it's busy and it's hard to find time and all of that. I'm talking about some real obstacles that keep us sometimes from prayer. A lot of these are self-caused. The first one is prayer exposes how self-preoccupied we are. We like ourselves, don't we? We spend a lot of time thinking about ourselves, right? Our status, our wants, our emotions, being right, being respected, how we feel about ourselves. And yet all of that self-focus, that's an obstacle to overcome to be able to come and have an authentic relationship before God. And it actually impacts our other relationships too. Another obstacle we have is that prayer shows we are in a hurry. Ever feel like, man, prayer is just a waste of time when I got a lot of things to do? Ever feel that way? Maybe we don't say it out loud, but I think sometimes we think it, right? Yet, just a different thought process here. What happens if you were to actually pray about the stuff you were supposed to get done? You might actually be more productive because you've invited God into it, right? About this obstacle, we focus on the prayer itself and not on God. You know, we are so concerned, particularly if we're praying out loud in front of people, to say the right prayer. The right words and the right order. And we forget that praying is talking to God, and we forget he's our audience, not the people around us. Next one is that prayer requires us to give up control. Any control freaks in the audience? About all of us, right? We like being in control. Prayer involves surrendering our agenda, our will, and our problems to God. Actually giving him our problems, leaving them at his feet, and then walking away. A lot of people are really good about praying about their problems, and then they scoop them back up when they stop praying, right? We need to leave them with him. And last, prayer confronts our spiritual enemy. Folks, we have an actual spiritual enemy. His whole goal is to keep you from drawing near to God. So he's going to do all that he can to keep you from being in prayer. And sometimes it's just distractions, it's situations around us, whatever it may be. He may just tweak something in us and go, oh, hey, I got to take care of that thing before I pray. We need to make sure that we're aware of that, that there is a spiritual force against us. So with these obstacles, how can we authentically pray? Well, I've got a few tips I'm going to give you this morning. They're biblical tips. I'm not going to give you all the verses and everything behind them. But these are things that can help us overcome these obstacles. They're not rocket science, but hopefully they'll help you unlock authentic prayer. It starts with my first one, and by the way, this is where faith starts overall. We have to have a good heart posture. Now, here at MVF, we use that term a lot, heart posture. And what that means is you can think of it as what you actually believe deep inside, what you actually feel. It's your attitudes and your motivations that then become behaviors and actions. It's your center. Sometimes we say it's our authentic selves, right? That's our heart posture. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. A good heart posture for prayer is, first of all, focused on God, not ourselves. And it's humble, it's contrite, and it's trying to listen to God. Now, you may not always start with that heart posture at the beginning. I know I don't always. Go ahead and pray anyways. Because as you pray and you draw near to God, he will change that heart posture within you. And hopefully, as you're praying enough, it becomes something a little more permanent for you all the time. Another tip I'd suggest is authentic and brief prayer is better than droning on. Matthew 6, Jesus was teaching his disciples in prayer. One of the things he said is there's some people who just believe by babbling on, by using lots of words and just repeating the same thing over and over and over again, God's going to hear them. It doesn't work that way. You guys ever hear anybody pray that way? And you're just like, okay, come on, land the plane. Let's get on, right? A 20-second authentic prayer is worth more than 20 minutes of just sounding good, okay? So brief is good if it's where your heart's at. That's why, like, during directed prayer, Steph only gave you like 30 seconds or so. Thought is to get in. What are you actually hearing and going ahead and praying for it? Another thing is just don't worry about the right words in the right order. I think sometimes we approach prayer as if it's like a Harry Potter magical spell, right? You got to say the right words, the right order, with the right annotation and, you know, whatever, right? But that's not prayer. Our prayer is sharing our heart, which is jumbled and messed up sometimes. So just start to pray, and God's going to work out the order. He already knows what's going on, right? As far as the right words go, I recently heard Pastor John Piper do something, and I thought I would duplicate it this morning. So I went to ChatGPT, and I typed in, and I said, please help me write a 15-second prayer to God in the style and theology of another pastor, Tim Keller, and to honor and glorify God, okay? And it spent a few moments, and then it spit this out. It says, Lord God, we exalt your holy name and lift you high. You are the King of glory, worthy of all praise and honor. Fill our hearts with your presence. May our lives reflect your grace, and may your name be forever praised. We worship you now and always. Amen. What do you think? Pretty good prayer? Kind of, yeah. It has a lot of the right words, definitely. And if you've ever read or heard Pastor Tim Keller, it's in his style, for sure. But this was a machine, right? A machine doesn't have a heart posture. A machine doesn't have a relationship with God. AI cannot replace you in your relationship with God. So this isn't a good prayer. It sounds good and everything, but God values when you actually share. Not trying to hit all these great sounding words and everything, but where are you at? Remember, we're after relationship, not religion. So don't miss the purpose of prayer by just trying to sound good. Just talk. Now, another tip is that we just need to reduce distractions, right? This thing. It's a huge distraction, right? So what I suggest is put it on Do Not Disturb, set it down, and have it be out of arm's reach, okay? Maybe get back to a paper Bible when you're reading or you're praying. And that way you won't be bothered by notifications and everything, right? Something I do sometimes when I'm praying is I'll take a piece of paper and a pencil and have it next to me. And as I'm praying along, you know, if my mind starts to wander and suddenly I'm on my to-do list, what I'll do real quick is I'll write those down. I'll stop praying, I'll write those down. And that way I can focus on prayer and I'm not trying to remember something that I'm afraid I'm going to forget, right? Or even, how about this, a different thought process. What if, when your mind starts to wander, you actually start to pray about what your mind is wandering to? That maybe the Holy Spirit is actually bringing these things up so that you can pray about them and ask God to be part of them. A little different. Another tip I have for you is to get in a prayer posture. Of course, this is going to depend on your context. Are you praying on the go, or are you kind of hunkering down to pray for quite a while? Just consider different things that may help you keep in focus. For instance, if you notice, I talk with my hands a lot, right? So a lot of times when I pray, I will go ahead and do the classic, you know, holding my hands. And that's just so I don't distract myself, right? But of course, the context is important. If you're driving, don't do this. Hold on to the wheel instead, right? Or what about just the prayer posture of maybe you need to be down on your knees? Or maybe you need to fully lay down and be prostrate in front of them. It may depend on what you're praying about. Do you have music playing in the background? Are you praying out loud? Or are you praying in silence? Just remember that your heart posture is more important than your physical posture, okay? However, your physical posture and the environment you're in does help you focus better. So just consider that. All right, you guys still with me? I've been talking a long time here. I think it's time for us to maybe, let's do it. Let's go ahead and do some prayer. And so as I do this, what should we pray about? I think Philippians 4:6 gives us some direction. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. That's not so helpful to say we're going to pray about everything, right? Okay? Incredibly true, but not so helpful. You can never run out of things to pray for. There's always going to be something. This morning, though, just to help, I'm going to come up with 8 topics. These are things that maybe you don't regularly go through, but they're good for us to pray through. And I'm going to save the topic, and I'm only going to give you 30 seconds or so to pray. I want you to respond where your heart is at. Don't worry about the exact words. Just start in, right? If you want to pray out loud, that is great. Some of us might be out loud. Some of us might be silent. Don't worry. God's going to be able to figure it all out. He does it all the time for 8 billion people at once. So that's not going to be a problem for him. It is going to be kind of rapid fire and quick. And my hope for doing it this way is to give you a short time just so that you can be authentic about what actually you need to pray about. Just listen for the Holy Spirit to kind of say, okay, on this one, this is what I want you to come to God about, right? All right. I'm going to pray to kind of get us started. And as I do this, just go ahead and assume whatever prayer posture makes sense for you. If you want to kneel, hold your hand, sit, whatever. Just please, I just ask, because we're all doing it, that it's not distracting to anybody else around you, okay? But let's go ahead and pray to begin. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this morning, for us to have this church family, for us to be able to be a part of your kingdom and what you're doing. Lord, I thank you that you do bend down to hear our prayers and that we can trust you in that, that you're not a God that just put things in motion, but you are active and involved in our lives. Jesus, thank you for creating a way for us to be able to come to the Father. Thank you for standing in between us, mediating for us, interceding in prayer for us. And we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, right now, I just pray to you to just make this a holy and sacred place and time. Talk to people's hearts loud so that they'll know what to pray about. And they start to be able to hear you and listen to you. I pray for the minimization of all distractions. Allow us to be able to put our agendas, our pride, our pretense away, and just for us to be in prayer with you. In your name, amen. Our first prayer topic is praise. And praise is glorifying God for who he is. Just think of it as declaring to God that you recognize one of his attributes, a part of his nature, whatever it is. Pick one, and let's go ahead and pray for praise now. Our next topic is thanksgiving, and we honor God when we come before him, and we just thank him for what he's done for us, what he's done for our family, what he's done for the world. You pick what level of thankfulness you want to have, but let's spend a few minutes in prayer thanking God. Confession. Is there anything you need to confess to God? Now, he already knows what's been going on in our hearts, but he wants us, again, as part of a relationship, to come to him and confess and admit our sins, our shortcomings, our doubts. So let's go ahead and pray confession right now. Do you have any relational conflict right now? Are there things happening within your family, your friends, maybe in your workplace? I'm going to ask you to just ask for God to show your part in working towards peace to help resolve these conflicts and get back to reconciliation. So let's go ahead and pray about our relational conflicts. Doing all right? Okay, 30 seconds isn't very long. The whole point is kind of for us to kind of an appetizer, if you will, that hopefully you'll continue to pray on some of these things moving out of here. The next one we're going to do is to pray for our enemies. Is there someone right now that you consider an enemy? And I know you're sitting in church and you're going, hey, we're supposed to love everybody and everything, but the truth is sometimes in our hearts we kind of treat some people like an enemy. Something like, maybe is your ex trying to change the custody agreement right now? Is a coworker always throwing you under the bus? Is your HOA giving you grief about something right now? Or maybe there's actual enemies, people who are actively working against us in the world. Maybe bigger things like Ayatollah Ali Khamenei in Iran, who's actually got, you know, wants to hurt us, right? So maybe we need to pray for those people. And so right now, I'm just going to ask you to ask God to bless your enemies. That's scriptural, by the way. It's kind of hard for us to do. Maybe you can pray for them to find and to hear God. Or maybe there's something about what God wants you to do. Maybe he's calling you to something in that relationship. But let's go ahead and pray for our enemies right now. Somebody who doesn't know Jesus yet. And what I want you to do is to pray for them. At MBF, we call that our out relationship. It's out just because they're outside of our church family and we want them to join in. So pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts, for them to be able to hear and respond, and maybe for your part in helping point them to Jesus. Let's pray for people who don't know him yet. Just an aside on this one, I just want to bring up something that we call the one habit on this. It's something that we do here at MBF. We haven't talked a lot about it recently, so maybe you don't know about it. I just encourage you to join in, and it's this. Set an alarm on your phone for 1 o'clock each day, and when that alarm goes off, you pray for 1 minute for one specific person who doesn't know Christ. You use their name. And so it's the one habit, 1 p.m., 1 minute of prayer, one person you're praying for, and you repeat it each day. I would love for all of us to join in. I think it's an incredible, important thing for us to do. And don't set your phone now. I'll remind you later, but it'll be a great thing for you to join in. Got a couple more prayers before we close out here. One is to pray for the needs of others. And kind of what I'm thinking here is praying for people who are in crisis right now. Maybe they've been in the ER or they've had an accident. Maybe they're dealing with sickness or cancer. Maybe your neighbor is just really stressed out and has a ton of financial things going on or just feels like the weight of the world is on them. I want you to just pray that God will step in and to help these people. And as you pray, be specific. Say a name and a situation. Let's go ahead and pray. Last prayer topic, anxiety and worries. Something I think we all have, right? But anxiety creates an incredible opening for prayer. You know, anxiety wants to be God, but anxiety is not God, does not have his power, does not have his wisdom and knowledge. Don't hunt for like this perfect spiritual state to start to pray. Go ahead and pray in your chaos. Pray in your anxieties and your worries. And what you'll be praying for is just to be able to surrender them to God, to give them and let him own them. So as we start to pray now, you can pray for surrendering your anxieties, but maybe also pray for a shift in the way you look at things. Instead of worrying about your problems, start to watch how God is actually working through them because you have surrendered them. Let's go ahead and pray about our worries and our anxieties. All right. Well done. Over the course of this morning, you have spent 6 minutes in prayer. You yourself with God. That's pretty amazing. Keep it going. Again, this should just kind of be an appetizer for you. And you can see that our prayers don't always have to be 20 minutes long, an hour long at once. They can be small chunks throughout the day. We can pray continuously. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, as I finish here, I know there's a couple questions that are going to come up. Somebody's going to ask me, well, what about, prepared prayers? Are those okay? Just know that not everybody connects to God the same way. And for some people, going through kind of more traditional things, a book of prayer, a liturgy, maybe praying through old hymns, those are incredibly great. There's nothing wrong with those. They were written by somebody. Hopefully, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So they're fine. But as you pray them, just make sure you're thinking about it. Are these my authentic prayer? Is this my thoughts? As soon as it starts being just something you're going through, then you need to find something different, okay? Another thing that I know I'll get asked about is some models of prayers, because often models are taught in churches, different ways of praying. Again, prayer is talking to God. You don't have to follow a set order. A model can be helpful for you just to kind of frame your thinking a little bit, maybe remind you of some different things to pray for, and so that's good. But again, remember, the model shouldn't make you legalistic. It shouldn't be so formulaic that you just are on autopilot and you're not really thinking or feeling anything. We don't want prayer to become a chore. These are three examples of models that I kind of use from time to time. One is I use the Lord's Prayer as a model. I kind of walk through it, but use my own words and what situations are going on and what do I need to surrender to Him or ask Him for. Another one is just using the acronym PRAY, which stands for praise, repent, ask, and yield. Yield is something that kind of like at the end of a lot of psalms. There's a lot of songs that are complaints against God. But the psalmist at the end will more likely than not end by saying something like, but you're God, I'm not, and I'm going to trust you, right? And that's the surrender piece that yield brings. And then just another one is the Trinity. You'll notice I often talk kind of through Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I may mix up the order a little bit, but I just think about those different parts of the Trinity and how we relate to them. And that helps me think about things to pray for. Okay? Kind of make sense? Again, don't get legalistic with them. Use them if they help you, and as soon as they stop being unhelpful, switch to something else. Now, I've been talking about prayer, so I got to end on prayer, right? I got to pray to kind of close this out. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to invite our prayer partners to go ahead and come forward. It's something that we do each week, is we have just a group of people that are willing to step forward, come forward, and just be open to prayer. And so you've been praying on your own, which is great, but there are times where we need to go ahead and just pray out loud with somebody. And then the great thing about coming forward is the folks that you pray with, they're going to continue to pray for you during the week as well, which is sometimes incredibly helpful. So here at the end, I'm going to say a prayer. I've got a couple announcements, and then you guys can come forward to receive prayer for yourself. Let's go ahead and pray together. Heavenly Father, again, just thank you for this morning. It is incredible that we can come to you, and we can trust you to hear us. Holy Spirit, I thank you for how you've been working through all of our hearts this morning. I just pray that each of us are able to hear you clearly. Continue to prompt us to kind of awaken our hearts at different points for things we need to pray about, for people, for you, for just how to love God, love others, and make disciples well. Jesus, I thank you that you demonstrated for us a life built on prayer. As we read in Scripture, there were so many times that early in the morning you went out by yourself just to connect with the Father. And you spent that time, and that's an incredible reminder to us that we need to be doing the same. It doesn't always have to be in the morning, but we need time with God, just working on a relationship and drawing near to Him. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us, for providing salvation, and thank you for loving us first. In your name, amen.